Hello and welcome to the BizNews Briefing. This is our last show of the year. We'll be back again on the 12th of January, but we've got a couple of crackers to end our year off with you. The two big announcements that came out this week from companies on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange, starting with Mr. Price. Man, they must now be really wondering whether they did their homework correctly. The share price of what was, well, probably the most highly rated of South Africa's retailers dropped 13% yesterday. Today, it took another knock. So it's quite clear that the announcement that came out that Mr. Price is moving into Germany to go and acquire a company there is not shared with the enthusiasm by shareholders that the board and management clearly had. We'll get into more details on that with Piet Viljoen, one of the top value managers in South Africa, in a little while. The other big announcement that came out this week was from Eskom and its interaction with Merafe, Glencore, and Samancor. Now, this is all to do with smelters, beneficiation of South African minerals. Merafe's share price was down by 3% on the news, which tells you that as enthusiastic as we might be as the public, seeing that Eskom is moving track and has been supported by government in looking after the industries in South Africa, well, it seems again that the market is not terribly pleased with this. That means it probably doesn't think that this is going to work. Well, we'll hear what Peter Major believes. He is South Africa's mining investment guru. And we also took the opportunity to ask Peter Major his thoughts on the Bank for International Settlements, which this week made a most unusual statement that it believes that the gold price is heading into bubble territory. But first, let's get on to the main news stories of the day. And the investment giant Allan Gray, the biggest asset management company in South Africa, has officially entered the actively managed exchange traded fund area. It launched two new global funds on the Johannesburg Stock Exchange today. The new global equity and the global balanced feeder ETFs will link investors to the Orbis company, which is an associate of Allan Gray's. It was started by Allan Gray in London some years ago and has created a substantial footprint over there. Today's move brings the total number of exchange-traded funds on the JSE to 126. And the market cap, in other words, the value of all of these funds put together, is a staggering 250 billion rand. The Financial Services Conduct Authority has levied a record fine of 2 billion rand against an organization called Bankso. And this is an online trading platform which has, according to the FSCA, been misleading clients. And actually, we know at BizNews, and we've covered the story very well for some months now, wiped out the savings of many people who say that they didn't really know what was going on. What makes this even more complicated is if you've seen those fake news ads on YouTube and elsewhere, where they purport to have Elon Musk and Johann Rupert and Nikki Oppenheimer telling you to put money into a particular investment. Well, somehow that ended up with Bankso. And although Bankso declared that they had nothing to do with it, the people who followed those fake ads ended up losing all of their money. The FSCA has stepped in, and it's interesting that the fine that it's levied against Bankso is almost three times the previous record fine, which was against the late Marcus Jooste, who you will recall took his life in Hermanus not that long ago. Capitec data reveals that this was a Black Friday to remember for retailers. It has 25 million clients, so a pretty good insight into the way that South Africans behaved. And what it tells us is that the transaction values in the Capitec client base jumped 14% in Black Friday this year compared with it last year. While in-store shopping grew steadily, the real explosion was in online spend, which was up 43%. Well, on to those stories, those big stories of the day now. And let's kick off with Mr. Price, one of South Africa's highest rated retailers. The investment that it's making into Germany was not well received. I asked ReCM's founder, Piet Viljoen, to help us understand why the market hated it so.
There are retailers in South Africa that have actually allocated capital well. Unfortunately, most have not. And the hit rate is extremely low. The hit rate of South African retailers going offshore and making a success of whatever acquisition like there. I mean, you can just run through them. Spar, you mentioned, famous brands, Woolworths in Australia, complete disaster. Truworths with its offshore activities. Steinhoff was a big acquirer of offshore retail assets. All of these failed miserably. And I was sitting here trying to think of one successful one. And maybe Pepkor, with its Brazilian operation and its Polish possibly Pepkor. But, that's about it. I can't think of any other. So, I think the odds are heavily stacked against Mr. Price's management team in trying to create value out of this acquisition.
If you were sitting in their boardroom, what would the management have argued? What do you think they would have? How would they have argued? And how would you have responded if you were in that position?
I'm not sure what the argument could be. Maybe there's a good fit. Maybe they know the people. I'm not sure, because it's not only the acquisition itself, the fact that they're doing an offshore acquisition and the track record of South African retailers doing offshore acquisitions is so poor. There's two very other important aspects. It's not only South African retailers. Most offshore retail acquisitions by a local fail. Most of them fail. So if a UK retailer does an acquisition into Europe or into the US, it generally tends to fail. Retail is not something that crosses borders very easily. So that's the one aspect. And that's why, one sees a lot of failure in this regard. And number two is the price they're paying. Now, I can't make out from the announcement and from the presentation whether what looks like a 40 PE or very close to 40 PE is based on the right earnings number. But at first glance, it looks very expensive. Now, they've also got the price against them as well. So not only is the strategy, in my opinion, probably going to fail, most likely, but they're also paying far too much for it.
The share price dropped 13%. That is a very strong vote of no confidence. What do you do as a director of this company now?
Well, basically what the market has done, it has knocked 8 billion rand off the market cap of Mr. Price, 8 to 10 billion rand, which is basically the value of the acquisition they're making. So the market is saying this thing has zero chance of succeeding. I think Mr. Price needs to come out with a very strong statement of why they will succeed and how they will succeed, which they failed to do in their presentation today, and why they're paying such a high price, which they also failed to do in the presentation today. So I think they need to do one of two things, in my opinion. Either they need to walk away, listen to the market and walk away, or they need to communicate better, one of those two things. But I think it's extremely hard to take your set of skills that you've built up in this country and your network that you've built up in this country and move it across borders to another regulatory environment, another legal environment, another social environment, a whole different environment. I think that's extremely difficult. And I think the hit rate of South African companies being able to do that is very low. And I think that is information that needs to be taken on board by anybody who wants to do an offshore acquisition.
This is where the unthinkable happened. They just came here and took his car.
No. I sold it to them. What's this?
It's crime scene tape. Did they pay you at least?
Within 15 minutes, money was in my account.
Were you happy with the number they brought you?
I got almost the same price as what I paid for the car. Everything was easy. Everything was painless.
Well, there you have it, South Africa. With We Buy Cars, you won't come short. I'll tell you really.
1.93.
We Buy Cars, the easiest way to sell your car by far.
And the other big story of the week, the negotiations between Eskom and the mining miners or smelters, Merafe, Glencore and Samancor, had quite a few people very optimistic. Not sure, though, what Peter Major, whether Peter Major shares that view.
We too often see government consultations being a joke, being a whitewash. Now, I don't think these are going to be a whitewash. You know, you're dealing with hard vested players here who hold the key to thousands of jobs. So Glencore is not going to stand up for a whitewash or a mere consultation. They want to know that what they're saying is being dealt with. They want to see action. And in the other industries as well. And they don't want to see the average press release from government. We hear it. We're taking into account. We're going to put concrete measures. We don't want to hear you're going to put concrete measures. We want to see what they are. Here's the concrete measures we are taking, and have numbers and dates and people. And that's how businesses worked for thousands of years. And that's how effective governments work, be it Singapore, be it China, be it Japan, South Korea. I think our government kind of knows what to do, but it goes against so much of what they've been doing. And because they have too many masters, you know, the South African Communist Party, the unions, international relations, the ANC, internal, you know, unfortunately, our people in government are catering to too many masters.
Still with Peter, I asked him to give us some insight into whether he felt the Bank for International Settlements was overdoing it by saying that gold is in a bubble.
Just look at where it's gone. You know, this is the all-time high gold price to the money market index. Now, we know money markets are supposed to keep up with inflation and maybe give you a percent more. And that's so the majority of savings are in money market for the average person, especially for retirees. Now, gold has exceeded the high of the money market that it hit in 1980. And we know that was a bubble because gold had gone from $35 an ounce to $800 an ounce in about 6 years flat. Well, we've now exceeded that relative to the money market. We've only been this high relative to the oil price once in the history of man. Has gold been this high to the oil price? And funny enough, that was only about 12 years ago, and it didn't last. If the average oil and gold, the average price of oil to gold is 19 to 1, let's say 20 to 1. Well, we're now on 70. You know, we're 3.5 times higher than that. And here's something even crazier. I never thought I'd see the day when a 1 ounce silver coin could buy a barrel of oil. So if anything's getting pricey, it's gold followed by silver right behind it. So yeah, it's left behind all of the other things that we normally benchmark it against.
As mentioned in the intro, this is our last show for the year. We'll be back on the 12th of January. Thanks for your support. Have a wonderful festive season. Until then, cheerio.